Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. I hope you are well. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today, I am joined by the one and only Ella Jewel. She is a photographer and content creator, and she's actually currently working with 260 Sample Sale. So, hi, Ella. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm so excited.
It's so funny. I have a document open right now, and I see your name, and it's actually such a beautiful name.
Oh, thank you. I know. I love it. My
real name. You're like, I know.
My real name is actually Elizabeth, but I've been going by Ella since, like, forever, since I was born. So.
No, I love it.
Thank you.
So welcome. And before we begin, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell us who you are, what you do, and what your relationship is with New York City.
Got it. So basically, my name is Ella. I am from Nashville, Tennessee. Technically, it's called Franklin, Tennessee. It's a town right outside of Nashville. I am a photographer and content creator. I moved here in 2018, and I love it so much.
So were you, sorry, not to cut you off really quick, were you living in Nashville up until 2018?
Yeah, so basically I went to college with actually an education degree, but I graduated from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, and which is another town outside of Nashville, about like 2 hours away. So I was in Chattanooga for those 4 years, and then right when I graduated in May, I moved back home for a couple months and lived with my parents in Franklin. And then I decided I wanted to move to New York, and I got an awesome teaching job in New York. And I moved August 2018, and I've been here ever since.
I forget that you are like a recent, I don't want to say native, New York resident.
Yeah.
Because like when I meet people, when they're from New York or when they're living in New York, I automatically, you know, click with them. And I totally forget that there is like a whole different story, which is why I think it's so interesting to have you on. So let's dive into your photography background. How did you get into it?
That is a great question. So basically my mom was always taking pictures of us growing up. And she had an amazing Canon camera. She also like did film. Like we have a lot of like recordings, like home videos that she would always film. And so I was always like, I loved pretending like I was kind of doing it also, like taking the camera from her and taking pictures of like my siblings and my cousins. And then when I got into high school and college, I kind of took over her camera. Actually, my grandfather bought me a really small camera, which I used a lot, but I also used her camera, and I basically kind of taught myself the basics on her camera, but it was mostly of, like, my friends and, just friends, my family, stuff like that. And then I studied abroad in Australia my junior year of college, and that is where I took a class in photography, and that's kind of where I learned the actual basics, like the construction of photography, like the history of photography, that kind of thing. And that's when I started doing it kind of professionally. Like that's when I started taking pictures of music and concerts and actually like starting to charge people.
That's amazing. I feel like, first of all, Australia, wow, to study abroad there. That's
it was crazy. It was like amazing. I want to go.
Yeah, because that's not a common abroad location.
Yeah,
I feel like more often it's like, because I studied abroad in London. I feel like mostly it's Europe.
Yeah, definitely. My mom's best friend, she moved to Australia when we were in high school, and she had been wanting us to come for so long and was like, you should come study abroad over here. And I was like, oh my God, I would love to, but I never really thought it would happen, you know? I just felt like I always like, I mean, I've always wanted to study abroad, but I didn't think it would actually happen. And then I started looking into it and I was like, this actually could happen. And then I literally just decided to go and went, and it was amazing.
That's like on my list. That was going to be my sixth continent to check off, but.
No, yeah, it's amazing. I love it. You need to go. I'll give you all the good places.
Yes, for sure. So I'm really curious to know, as of now, when you think of your photography, either skills or what you are mostly drawn to, what are the categories that you mostly photograph and why?
So I feel like my favorite thing to photograph is people. Like people doing things, people, like any type of human interaction. That's like my favorite thing to photograph. So that could be like an artist or like a musician, but it also can be like fashion, editorial, or like bloggers, influencers. Like I love getting to watch people do what they love to do and taking a picture of that. So that's kind of my favorite thing to take pictures of. But as of like my job, I do more like fashion, e-com type work.
And do you, well, I don't want to say do you like it, but
no,
I guess
I really
the contrast,
like it.
Yeah.
I really like it a lot. I feel like e-com work is very much, you're still being creative, but it's more you're following kind of a set of guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's more professional.
Exactly. So it's a little bit kind of hard sometimes because I want to do my own thing, but I also have to like listen to the rules and like follow what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So that's why I kind of also like to work outside of that and do like editorial stuff and like lifestyle stuff. But I do like it a lot. I'm still very much new at it. I don't know if I told you this, but I quit my teaching job literally last August.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
started
you did.
Doing this. So this.
But I was going to, no, I love that transition because, so photography is a creative field.
Yes.
And I feel like sometimes when you are creative, because that's how I would identify myself as, it's really, really hard to shut that part of us because no matter what you do, it's always going to be like trying to make an appearance.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you, because you studied education and you were teaching, what was that transition like? Like, did you have a feeling that teaching no longer served you, or was it more that photography was just calling your name?
So I love teaching and I love kids. I taught basically at a Montessori school in Flatiron and I loved it so much and I learned so much, but I felt like I wasn't able to really grow creatively and also just in the field. Like I feel like once you're a teacher, you're kind of like a teacher, which is awesome. Like I feel like that's awesome. But I was kind of a little bit bored. But so it was a very hard transition, especially during COVID, because it's crazy. But I mean, I love it and I miss it so much. Like I miss all the kids in my class so, so much because I was literally with them for like 3 years. But like the same kids for a long time. But I don't know. I'm very happy that I made the switch, even though it was really scary. Like, it was an amazing, amazing thing that I did, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And looking at your journey thus far, whether it's with education or this new photography career, when have you felt the most proud? Like, what are your highlights?
Oh,
your
gosh, that's a hard question. I guess I'll start with teaching. So I did get to stay with the same kids. So Montessori is very much very child-based, and we stay with the same children for like 2 years, and basically their growth is like huge. So getting to watch them grow from like when I first got them into my classroom and then seeing them basically go on to like the next part of their life was like so awesome, because I feel like I actually made a difference in their lives even though they were so young and little. It was so cool, like getting to teach them how to like read or write, or I don't know. That was really cool, getting to watch them grow and me having like a part of that. But with photography, I don't even know. I feel like my highlights would be just had this job. Getting this job was a huge deal for me. I didn't think that I was I didn't think that I was qualified for it. And so when I applied, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get this. Like, I can't believe I'm even like applying. So like me getting this job was a huge deal, because I feel like that's such a 260 sample sale. Like everyone kind of knows what that is. So that was a huge deal. And then getting to work with all these different brands and, yeah, and it's opened so many doors for me. So I don't even know. For photography, it's kind of like everything that I do. I'm like amazed with what I'm doing, you know?
No, I think that's a great observation. And, you know, hearing you speak about, in a way, not necessarily believing in yourself when you applied, it also shows that even if you are scared or you have doubts, still do it. Like the fact that you still put yourself out there, because so many people can also be held back.
Yes.
By those thoughts, right? And I truly believe it's really the action. And if you don't land a job, or if you don't, whatever the outcome is, whether it's the opposite of what you hope for, the best part is like just that progress, that step. And I think that's the taking point, I guess. Yeah, the takeaway message.
Definitely. Like if I would have never applied to that job, I'd probably still be teaching. Which is a great, but I think that, I don't know, I just feel like taking that step is so scary, but sometimes it's so needed. And the worst thing that can happen is they don't answer your email, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's literally, and it's fine, you just go on to the next thing and that's fine, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, exactly.
But I recommend everyone to go out of their comfort zone and do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I want to ask you, like, in this current moment while we are recording, what is keeping you up at night, which is basically equivalent to what is stressing you out, if you have any burdens or something that's like just occupying your mind. I feel like as New Yorkers or as people living in New York, it's a very stressful and chaotic city.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't often take time to truly sit down with ourselves and be honest. Maybe we do it alone, but definitely not with friends or even like strangers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just my mental check-in with you to see like, what's up? Are you stressed about anything? And if you're comfortable sharing what that is, feel free to do so.
Got it. Okay, so I think what's stressing, sometimes I think about, so my entire family is at home. All my friends are at home in Nashville. So it's sometimes it makes me want to move back home a lot. But I feel like my job here, or my job in Nashville, if I were to move home, there would not be an equivalence of what I'm doing here in Tennessee. Like the fashion industry is not where it is here. It's very much, it's just not there yet, you know, and it might one day be, but it's not right now. And I feel like a lot of times I'm always thinking about like, what would my life be like if I did move home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So that's been keeping me up a lot. Thinking about like, just kind of like the different choices I've made in my life, and how they've affected me, and if my life would be different, and like, did I make the right choice of living here and doing this and quitting teaching, like that kind of thing, which I feel like everyone kind of thinks about that a little bit.
No, you are totally right. I actually had a game night last night with some of my friends, and we were talking about just the city itself. And there were only me and my other guy friend who are, well, no, actually, there was three of us that are considered, well, not considered, we are native New Yorkers, so we're born and raised here. And we were talking to other people who weren't from New York, but they moved here. And just the conversation was really interesting because they were picking our brains about what was that like, and if we took it for granted, and just our childhood and our experiences and all of that. And then hearing their perspective about their smaller hometowns, right? And I thought about that and I was like, wow, this is kind of all I know, New York. Yes, I travel because I want to see other parts of the world, but it's different from somebody who is born in a city like this, because people don't often leave. And if you do leave, it's most of the time for like family, like starting a family. Yeah, and I think sometimes people are drawn to the city because it really is the city that has all these opportunities
Yeah,
if
definitely.
you want to grow, and it's really the lifestyle. And I think, when you maybe question or think about your choices, it really does come down to how you're currently feeling and if you do feel satisfied, content, and happy.
Yeah,
So I wanted
definitely.
to transition into what is your definition of like success, and like what does happiness look like to
That's another very hard question.
you?
I don't know. I feel like success to me is being happy in kind of every aspect of my life, like being happy in my job, being happy in all my relationships. I guess, I don't know. I mean, I do one day want to like start a family. Like, I feel like that's gonna be a huge. That would be like a huge success in my life. But I don't know. I guess just being happy in where I am in my life, which I am right now. So I guess that kind of means that I'm successful, I guess you could say. But I don't know. There's still so much to do. So I don't know.
The reason why I ask is because there are terms that I feel like we have been fed by society, right? About that is what the purpose in life is. You need to be successful. You need to find happiness. You need to be happy. But it's like, okay, let's break that down individually, because we're all, going to have different definitions. But like, what does that look like? And it ties back to what you were saying about, different lifestyles and different cities and towns, because it really, like, somebody who lives in Nashville can be totally, if there was a way to measure happiness, can be just as happy as somebody who is making bank in New York City.
Definitely, 100%.
Yeah, so it's just like really interesting to see what fuels you, like what actually makes you, I don't even want to use the word happy again because it's so redundant, but I think like fills you up, right? Like what makes you feel good at the end of the day. So,
And I feel like if you're happy, that's successful, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm curious to know, I know you just started your job with 260 sample sale, but what is your like ultimate dream or goal? Like, do you want to pursue photography like full time? Do you want to like run your own business in
Yeah,
that sense?
that's a another great question. So I think I want to continue working in fashion. And I recently met with like, or I got to kind of assist this like editorial fashion photographer who like does work with like Harper's Bazaar and like Vogue and all this crazy stuff. So like on like a much bigger scale. And I feel like that kind of is what I want to start doing next. But like learning about that kind of stuff first, you know, like I still have so much to learn. But I'm definitely gonna think I'm gonna stay with 260 for a while and continue. Like, I feel like I'm literally learning something new every single day, which is amazing, especially for my personality. I'm very much wanting to like always learn and keep growing. So I think that's, I'm meeting so many new people every single day. I'm growing, which is amazing. But like, I definitely think my next thing is probably going to be more like doing freelance and like editorial fashion photography. And then also like music. Keep on doing my like live music stuff, which has been hard with COVID, but I want to start getting back into that soon.
Yeah, no, I love that. What is it about fashion that is so captivating for you? Because when you talk about photography, you have mentioned fashion multiple times. So I'm just curious, like, what is it about the fashion industry that you're so drawn to?
I have no idea. I just think that, I think that, honestly, I don't know. I think I love watching. I feel like fashion is an art form. Photography is an art form. Mm-hmm. And when the two combine, I think it's really beautiful. And I love getting to capture, like I was saying before, I love getting to capture art. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just feel like that's such a beautiful form of art. And I love getting to take pictures of that.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it, because I, you know, when I started even social media, I was very much only posting fashion content, mm-hmm. which is somewhat how I think we got acquainted. Yeah. And
yeah.
It definitely is an art form. And I think once you are in the creative field, everything is related. Like mm-hmm. you said, music, art, fashion, photography, anything that is a form of self-expression. I think each creative, whether or not they have that lens or skill, can appreciate the other art form, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Okay, so my podcast is called The City Confessions. And the reason why is because I love to get people on to share a little overview of their backgrounds and, you know, who they are mm-hmm. as a human being living in New York. But on top of that, I wanted to just have fun with it and also ask my guests, if you can share a city confession, what would that be? And I know that you might be a little stumped, but there is no right or wrong, and there is no like grading, because I feel like sometimes people are like, oh my god, I want to give you a good confession, but it's not about that. We all hold on to something, whether it's like a secret or I don't know, like, yeah, I guess secrets, and that can be dark and deep or just super light and like funny.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Ella, if you can share a confession.
Can you go first? Do you have a city confession?
Oh, wow. Okay. I've never had somebody turn the tables around. I have revealed confessions in my solo episodes, but I think right now,
yeah.
If I'm going to be talking, I guess.
I need an example, so.
Well, other people have said that, you know, they might seem very just confident
mm-hmm.
in either person or online, but they're actually super insecure, or that they might seem outgoing, but they experience social anxiety, which is something that I definitely can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
People have said how they are currently in therapy. So that's not, it is somewhat of a secret, I guess, because they haven't told people. So yeah. Anything like that, that just, and the reason why I ask is that I think whatever answer you give me and other people give me, it just humanizes all of us.
Mm-hmm, you know, like
it goes to show that whatever you're going through, and again, everyone, it can be, yeah, on the deeper side or not, but that we're all humans, whether we're resilient in that way of overcoming struggles, or we're also just really silly and have quirks if it's more of like a lighter side.
Got it. So I guess I'll go with the more serious side that is kind of drawing me to. But so basically, I do struggle with anxiety and depression, and I feel like through my social media, it does seem like I have like a great, I'm like having like, I have a great job. I have friends. I'm like loving my life. Like I'm always posting like happy pictures. But there's definitely another side of that, you know? And I feel like so many people don't post that side on social media. And I feel like I definitely struggle with anxiety and depression. Like, I've struggled that with that since I was in high school, honestly. But it is a huge part of my life, and that's something that I'm working on. I do talk to a therapist a couple times a month, which has been so helpful, so amazing. And I honestly suggest that even if you are nervous about talking to someone, I think it's such an amazing thing that I've started to do. I feel like I've just completely opened up, and yeah, I guess that would be my city confession is, mm-hmm. is that kind of thing, anxiety and yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I relate, honestly, 100%. I think I've been on Instagram for 10 years now, and mm-hmm. people don't realize that. But in that 10-year, I obviously have grown and evolved, and not only as a person, but my interests and values. And for the most part, I was also only posting really happy things, because who wants to, scroll yeah. through, a picture of you crying yeah. or you're in your room and it's dark. So, but it was only until I want to say 2-3 years ago, actually, when I started this podcast, was when I started to just open up a little bit and reveal different layers of myself to the public, more so in my podcast, just because it's very audio based and I feel like there's so much power and genuine expression and feeling in hearing somebody's voice.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I opened up in that aspect, but I will say once I was able to shed certain layers of myself or show vulnerabilities, not only did I personally feel free, but I felt like I was showing up authentically. Not to say yeah. that you're not, if you're not revealing it. Mm-hmm. And it all comes down to personal preference, because everybody has a specific, I guess, capacity and comfort level of what they want to put out there. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, I was just so sick and tired of putting on this facade.
Yeah, definitely.
That I was all good. So I totally relate to you. And I go to therapy. I'm such an advocate for it. I've spoken about it in a lot of my previous episodes. I feel like anxiety and depression is actually much more common than a lot of us think.
No, definitely. It really is, which I didn't know about. I didn't think that it was so prevalent in people our age, and even people younger and older. It's so, mental health is so important, and I think should be talked about a lot more, mm-hmm. because it is, so many people struggle with it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I do think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm curious to know what your perspective is, that social media has somewhat allowed that conversation to
yes to I
be more right.
Yes, I honestly completely agree. I think over the past year, even during COVID, I feel like Instagram used to be, or anything, social media used to be all about showing kind of your life and showing off your life a little bit, but I feel like now it's kind of showing a real side sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like when we were inside, we were stuck inside and didn't really have anyone to talk to except through our phones. And I feel like that kind of allowed people to really be more themselves, I guess you could mm-hmm. say. But no, 100%. I think Instagram and TikTok even and Twitter, it's really allowing different sides of yourself to come out and to come into light. And there's also all these other huge famous people, even I know Billie Eilish had that is very vocal about her mental health issues, and who else, Demi Lovato is very vocal mm-hmm. on social media about her mental health issues. And I think that them coming forward has definitely opened a door for other people to know that it's okay to come forward, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think struggling in silence or struggling alone is probably the worst thing, right? Yeah. It really does help to know that you are not the only one. And it's really hard to have that thought when you're in those moments, because I've been there,
yeah.
you know, and you feel like
you're the only one that feels like that.
You're going through it by yourself. So I 100% agree that mental health is, if anything, the most important thing in life to keep that always in check. And that's why I think, you know, this isn't a mental health podcast. It's more of like a lifestyle and conversational podcast. But I think the roots of it is related to mental health, because a lot of my questions I feel like has ties to that, but I don't try to, you know, like put those words out there to pressure the guest or whatever. It's kind of like however they receive it. So yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing though, because I think I'm sure somebody who's listening is like, okay, wow, okay, I'm glad to know I'm not the only one. That's basically my whole goal, is to again just like normalize all of it.
Definitely.
Vulnerabilities, pain, or if you're living your best life, because I always think I try to encourage and try to be inspiring as well. So it's not one or the other, and you can, and the thing is, both of them can coexist. You can, it's weird, right? It's like an oxymoron. I do believe you can be happy and be successful, yet still go through depression, anxiety. And it might sound weird. I know people might be like, I don't understand how that works out, but it can exist. Any.
It is. It's very much, yes, exactly. I mean, you put it very well. It's kind of like, kind of, I mean, if you think about like, who was that guy that was so, he was a travel,
And
Anthony Bourdain or
Gordon,
something like that. He literally had everything that he could ever want. I mean, what he was successful in his job, but he wasn't happy, you know? And I think that that shows that exactly what you were saying, that it is so, there can be two sides, you know? Which is so scary, honestly, kind of.
No, absolutely.
But it's interesting to think about.
Yeah, it is. And I think, I mean, after hearing us both speak about it, one of, I guess, my tip for anybody is that there's no way to really prevent feelings. That's part of life. But the way to,
The way you do what you do about those feelings.
is what matters, but also just having one, the honest conversation with yourself, but those like daily check-ins. I think it's so important, because I personally journal every morning, and even if I don't feel like it, you know, there are moments where I'm like, oh my God, I don't really want to talk. Like, I don't, I'm such in a bad mood. But even writing that out, like physically just saying, I don't even want to write today. Looking back at it's very therapeutic, and I think being able to just have that in writing is really beautiful, because I journaled a lot when during the pandemic, and I remember there was times when I was reading it back and I was like, oh my God, I totally can feel exactly how I felt in those moments.
Yeah, definitely.
But then to also see the progress, because I'm not there, right? So yeah, I think that's important, and writing it down and obviously talking to somebody, whether it's a friend or getting into therapy.
Definitely. I definitely want to start writing and journaling again. That makes me want to do that.
No, you should. It's only it takes like 5 minutes out
And
of your
so I
day.
feel like it's easy, not easy, but like I would definitely want to like look back on it one day and know where I was in this point of my life, you know?
Exactly. Okay, so we are winding down. This is your chance to, I guess, plug away. So I wanted to just see if you have anything that you are currently working on that you can share. And if not, that's fine as well. So know that the podcast or your episode is going live, I believe, on July 13th. If today's July 13th, that's on air. But what can you share? Because I know, well, I'm not gonna speak for you, but are you offering any sessions with are you offering any sessions that people can book with you?
Oh,
What can you
yes.
review? Yeah, and I will leave all of your information in the show notes, but
Awesome.
feel free to just speak about what you're currently working on.
Yeah, so basically, I love working with different, like, smaller brands and smaller influencers and bloggers, or big influencers and bloggers, or big brands. It doesn't really matter. So if you guys are listening and you wanna hit me up, I'd love to collab and work with you guys. I love kind of like putting my style and another person's style together to create like an amazing image. So like if anyone is down to collab, I'd love to, if you wanted to reach out, I'd love to talk to you guys. Along with fashion, I also do a lot of music stuff. So I do like mu like live music stuff, which I haven't been able to do since COVID started. So like if any musicians are into getting some pictures taken, I'd love to do that as well. Literally just reach out, you know.
No, of course. And be sure to look at the show notes because I'm going to have all of Ella's information linked.
Yes.
And I want to take a moment right now to just send you my gratitude because I think when people schedule time out of their days to come speak with me, it's such a privilege. Like, I don't think people realize that. And now that I'm getting older, I feel like time is so valuable, and I am very, 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 very cautious of how I utilize my time, so I can only see the same for somebody else.
Yeah.
So thank you so much
Well, thank
for
you for
telling
inviting me on here. This has been, I honestly was so nervous.
me. I
I don't
know.
even know why. I just was like, I felt like I didn't really have anything to talk about, but I'm honestly so happy that you asked me to do this. Like, I think it was such a cool experience, and I'm very grateful for you and your friendship.
Aw, I think also one thing you said is that, not f maybe feeling like you had anything to say, but I'd want to remind everybody that obviously we're all significant and unique and that all of our stories matter. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about this podcast, because it's not necessarily having, a guideline or a rule book about whose story is better or whose story is worthy of telling.
Yeah.
For me, my only requirement is New York, only because, of course, my podcast is called The City Confessions. But I think when we are able to vocalize our own stories or just speak our truths, we forget how just amazing we are. And with that being said, my last question to you is, what is the one thing you love most about yourself?
Ooh, that's another great question. I love how, I guess, independent I am. Being able to move here to the city by myself, not really knowing anyone, was huge. And I, looking back on it, I'm so proud of myself for stepping out of my boundary and doing that. So I think I'm most proud of like my independence and my willing to do anything type of, not anything, but you know what I mean. But my willing to step out of my comfort zone and try new things, and I love that about myself.
I love that about you too. I think it's honestly such a beautiful trait because so many people live in fear. This is something that we literally spoke about in the beginning of the episode, but it really is true. And I feel like those the people who see that, see the fear and all the uncertainty, but still embrace it and just throw themselves into it. That's what's going to not only drive success, but growth. And I
100.
guarantee you, like when you get older and you're gonna look back, you're gonna be so proud that you did this move.
No,
So,
100%.
no, that's very admirable.
Yes, I'm so happy. I'm proud of myself.
Yes, you should be. Well, with that being said, this episode is basically all wrapped up. Thank you again, Ella, for coming on and speaking
Thank
with all
you.
of us. And for those listening, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Feel free to again give Ella a follow, check out her amazing work. She's a beautiful, beautiful soul. And yeah, I hope you enjoy this episode and stay tuned for next week's. All right, bye.
Hi, guys.